bloodlines, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi vows revenge for the U.S. assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani 2 years ago unless former U.S. President Donald Trump faces trial.
The then U.S. President must be put on trial as an aggressor, murderer, and the main criminal.
Saudi warplanes conduct around 50 strikes on the city of Aselan in Yemen's Shabwa province. Plus, COVID-19 cases in Florida have risen by nearly 950% in just 2 weeks as the Omicron variant drives a huge wave of infections and hospitalizations across the U.S. Thank you for joining us. The top story this hour, people in Iran have paid tribute to the country's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. The two anti-terror icons were assassinated in an American drone strike outside Baghdad airport on January the 3rd, 2020. People from all walks of life participated in ceremonies across Iran to mark the occasion. They called for bringing the perpetrators to justice. People from other countries such as Iraq, Yemen, and Syria have also held similar ceremonies in commemoration of General Qasem Soleimani and Mohandas. Addressing a gathering in the capital Tehran, President Ibrahim Raisi said former U.S. President Donald Trump, who ordered the assassinations, must be put on trial.
Years on since the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian military commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, made headlines, and Iranians still grieve his loss. On the second anniversary of the incident, thousands gathered at Tehran's Grand Mausoleum to pay tribute to him. Addressing the gathering, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi vowed to bring those behind the incident to justice.
If Trump and Pompeo are not tried in a fair court for the criminal act of assassinating Lieutenant Soleimani, Muslims will take our martyrs' revenge.
General Soleimani was the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He, together with commander of Iraq's popular mobilization units, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, was assassinated in January 2020 in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport, on a direct order from then-U.S. President Donald Trump. Soleimani is well known for dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017. He also spearheaded major operations in Syria that resulted in liberating key areas from Daesh. This made him rise to fame in the region as the mastermind of the fight against terrorism.
Lieutenant Soleimani did not allow the terrorists to approach our borders. We owe our security and stability to his sacrifices.
If it wasn't for Lieutenant General Soleimani, the entire region would have collapsed and fallen under Daesh control. Not only Iranians, but the people of the region are indebted to him.
The U.S. thought in vain that by assassinating Qasem Soleimani, it would stop his fight against terrorism. But in fact, the incident gave rise to a united front in the region against Washington, and that's what led to the humiliating ouster of American troops from the region.
Iran says it is seriously following up on its legal pursuit to prosecute those behind Soleimani's assassination. Iran and Iraq have recently formed a joint investigation committee comprising judicial experts from both countries. Based on the latest findings of the legal team, more than 120 people have been identified in connection with Soleimani's assassination. Former U.S. President Donald Trump tops the list.
People say by assassinating General Soleimani, the United States tried to disrupt the regional fight against terrorism, something which they say put Washington on a confrontational course with the countries in West Asia and marked the beginning of its exit from the region. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Lebanon's Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah praises the role of Lieutenant General Soleimani and Iraqi Commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in fight against terrorism in the region, adding that the expulsion of all U.S. troops from West Asia will be the ultimate revenge for their assassination. Mariam Saleh reports from the Lebanese capital, Beirut.
Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah lashed out at the United States as the mother of corruption and terrorism in the region and stressed that the expulsion of U.S. forces from the region will be the final revenge for the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi Popular Mobilization Unit's commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in Baghdad in 2020.
We have declared earlier that the best revenge is the full withdrawal of U.S. troops from the region. And over the past 2 years, as the leader Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, the U.S. has been forced to leave Afghanistan with humiliation. This has led the U.S. allies to rethink their alliance with Washington.
In an address to a ceremony in Beirut remembering the martyrs Qasem Soleimani, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and their companions, Sayyid Nasrallah also accused the U.S. of being behind all Israeli and Saudi crimes in the region for decades.
The lesson which I would like to highlight today is that everyone acting for the sake of God emerges victorious in all battles and wins the hearts and minds of all people across the Arab and Muslim worlds. They show us that the U.S. serves as a real enemy and source of corruption, occupation, and terrorism in our region.
Allies believe that the project of the resistance continues to face the criminality of the U.S. in Lebanon and the region.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani belonged to the school of thought of a struggle against the occupiers of our land and those who destroyed our homes and killed our people and led one war after the other with their support for the Zionists. He sacrificed his life and stood against terrorism in Iraq, Yemen, Syria, and Lebanon and Palestine. He taught us that Lebanon is strong enough and can remove itself from the U.S. hegemony.
The leader of the resistance stressed that the assassination of martyr Soleimani, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, has triggered a new phase at the regional level.
The assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and PMU Commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis is seen as an incident larger than the region itself, and for many analysts has brought to light a long-term confrontation for Lebanon's Hezbollah facing U.S. influence in Lebanon and the region. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
Afghans mark the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of top Iranian commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani by organizing different events. They view martyr Soleimani as a symbol of bravery and faith. Rahmatullah Baghwan reports from Kabul.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is highly respected among Afghan people because of his leadership role in resisting invasion and Takfiri groups in the region. Afghans consider him as a hero who inspired them to find freedom and defeat the invaders. To commemorate Lieutenant General Soleimani's sacrifices and bravery, Afghan leaders, clerics, and experts gathered at Iranian embassy in Kabul, highlighting his role in unifying Muslims and forming an anti-terror resistance in the region, especially Afghanistan.
Martyr Soleimani was a righteous servant of God. He was committed to Islam's holy values and ideals, so he devoted his life to serve Muslims and the oppressed and fight devils and Takfiri groups. He fought the U.S. hegemony in the region and didn't let it interfere in Islamic countries' affairs and create terror and war in the region.
Shahid Qasem Soleimani.
Martyr Soleimani managed to unify Muslims around the globe. He always used to show up wherever he was needed. For Afghanistan, he was a friend. He met resistance forces and Afghan top leaders to motivate and empower them to defend their soil against terrorists and invaders. Therefore, we owe the victory over the U.S. to the anti-terror, General Soleimani.
Some Afghan teenagers, considering themselves as the followers of Lieutenant General Soleimani's school of thought, have held a Sunday Wushu match on the occasion of the second anniversary of the martyrdom of their fearless role model.
Our match is held here in support of Commander Soleimani. We, the young generation of Afghanistan, are followers of his school of thought. We love the commander's attitude and adopt him as our role model in bravery, faith, and modesty. That is why most matches are named after him.
Lieutenant General Soleimani not only played a major role in defeating Daesh terrorist group in Syria and Iraq, but also had a direct relation with Afghan resistance forces to help them defeat terrorist groups and put an end to invasion on their soil. Afghans mark the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of the anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, as they are still suffering from time-to-time Daesh attacks. For Afghans, Martyr Soleimani is a hero and a role model for fighting against terrorism. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Muslims in Nigeria have marked the second anniversary of the assassination of top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Danjuma Abdullahi has the details from Abuja, the Nigerian capital.
The second anniversary of the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was marked with a lecture which detailed the life and good works of the former leader of the Quds Force of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps. The participants praised the sterling quality of his character, especially his selfless fight against terrorist groups.
He was keen for his fight against this terrorism. And he need to be remembered. We must remember General Qasem Soleimani for his bravery and standing against injustice. He fight against the extrajudicial killing of innocent people by the so-called ISIS and other terrorist organizations.
General Soleimani and his fellow Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis were assassinated in a targeted drone attack on the 3rd of January 2020 in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad, with orders from then US President Donald Trump. People here say the assassination of General Soleimani has revealed the true identity of terror sponsors to the world.
Those that claim to be fighting against terrorism kill a hero, somebody who fights against terrorism. Now, who are the terrorists? America is the perpetrators of terrorism in the world. It is very clear to the whole world that these are the global sponsors and perpetrators of terrorism in the world.
Military hospital.
In a message to the occasion, Nigeria's senior Muslim cleric Sheikh Ibrahim Al-Zazaki said the Islamic movement in Nigeria will continue to mark the assassination of General Soleimani just like it marks other martyrs in Karbala, Zaria, and other places. Nigerians who gathered here say they share the pain of the Iranian people and indeed of all law-abiding nations of the world who stand against extrajudicial killing like that of General Qasem Soleimani by the U.S. government. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
Yemen's army releases footage of an Emirati-flagged vessel seized Monday off the country's western port city of Hodeidah. The army spokesman says the ship, which was carrying military equipment, has been taken to Salif port. Yahya Sari says the vessel was engaged in hostile acts against Yemen's security and stability. According to media, the ship was heading to the Saudi port of Jizan in the Red Sea. They claim it was carrying equipment from a shuttered field hospital. This comes amid Saudi Arabia's intensified attacks on its southern neighbor. Later in the day, the kingdom's warplanes conducted around 50 strikes on the city of Asaylan in Yemen's Shabwa province. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdul Latif al-Washili, joined us earlier with the latest on the attacks.
For the few past days, the Saudi-backed forces have been claiming that they have taken control of Usaylan, of Balharat area, particularly in Usaylan in Shabwa province. There have been fierce clashes with the Saudi-backed forces. The Yemeni army has made significant advances in that area. And whenever we see the Saudi coalition launches such a huge number of airstrikes against a particular area, we realize that the Yemeni army has made significant advances in that area. The Yemeni army said that it will absolutely liberate all of Shabwa province from the Saudi-backed forces. Usaylan is a very important area. It's a strategic area, actually, and it means a lot for the Yemeni army to take control of that area to precede the military operations toward liberating all the Yemeni territories from the Saudi-backed forces. The Saudis have been claiming that they are advancing in Shabwa and in Marib, but what we see that they are launching tens of airstrikes against the Yemeni forces, and this is a sign that the Yemeni armed forces are advancing against the Saudi-backed forces.
COVID-19 cases are soaring in the United States as the highly transmissible Omicron variant drives a huge wave of infections and hospitalizations across the country. According to U.S. media, coronavirus cases have doubled nationally in the last 7 days to 418,000 infections a day on average. In Florida, the situation is far worse, with a spike of nearly 950% in cases in just 2 weeks. Officials say residents have to wait for hours in lines to take a test. Official data suggests only 62% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, with numbers especially low in the South. The United States is the world's hardest-hit country with a pandemic, with more than 56 million infections and nearly 848,000 fatalities. Palestinians rally in the Gaza Strip in solidarity with an inmate who's been on hunger strike in an Israeli jail for months. Addressing the rally, a top official of the Islamic Jihad movement warned Israel over the deteriorating health of Hisham Abu Habash. He stressed that prisoners are a red line for the Palestinians. The movement says Israel is fully responsible for the current condition of Abu Habash and that it will take revenge on the regime if he dies. The Palestinian prisoner went on a hunger strike more than 140 days ago to protest his illegal detention without charge or trial. Abu Habash is currently in a state of coma. Medical experts say he is in danger of sudden death or a stroke. Well, that's your world news for now. Stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
General Soleimani's heritage for Islamic resistance. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. The legendary commander of the Axis of Resistance, the greatest anti-terrorist figure and the nightmare of the U.S., global Zionism and their stooges, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, stood like an impenetrable dam against the domineering system and its lapdog Daesh, and united all Islamic sects and even non-Islamic groups and ethnicities who thought of living out of the despicable hegemony of the U.S. and its courts. The Axis of Resistance was formed after the victory of the Islamic Revolution by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. The Imam's initiative had aimed at freedom of holy goats as the cause of all Palestinians and the Islamic Ummah. This axis has turned into front of resistance and spread to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Yemen, and Nigeria. Qasem Soleimani was not just a brave commander, but also the symbol of resistance. His strenuous struggles against the U.S. raised Daesh and other terrorist outfits turned him into the epitome of fight against global terrorism. The United States of America, the fabricated Zionist regime of Israel, and the Saudi regime left no stone unturned to annihilate the axis of resistance. Hence, they created Takfiri and terrorist groups to disintegrate Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. But General Soleimani firmly stood against aggressive groups and didn't let the enemies achieve their sinister goals. He was a powerful commander who, through trusting God and seeking intercession with the Ahlul Bayt, immediate progeny of the Prophet of Islam, revived self-belief and dignity of the resistance front and maintained security in the region. Self-sacrifice, sincere jihad in the way of God, and love of martyrdom were his most important characteristics. General Soleimani practically showed that the pure Muhammadan Islam is totally different from the American Islam, which was manifested in Daesh. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said in 2015, "The Zionist regime will not see 25 years later. God willing, till the next 25 years, with the divine help and the divine favor, there won't be such a thing as the Zionist regime in the region." This statement of the leader had turned into the definite belief of the resistance front, and the Islamic world is counting down the remaining days of the life of the unholy being called Israel. Martyr Soleimani said on the occasion of marking Martyr Mohsen Hojaji, who had been beheaded by Daesh elements, "We take oath by the severed throat of this dear martyr of the way of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, that we will not step back from pursuing this cursed tree, Daesh, and annihilating this dangerous tumor that has protruded in the body of the Islamic world till its last member." This fiery speech came true, and the blood of Martyr Hojaji was avenged within less than 3 months when General Soleimani announced the end of the rule of Daesh in 2017. God willing, this is a prelude for the ultimate obliteration of the Zionist regime. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani turned axis of resistance into the resistance front and then into the unity of resistance. No doubt, the role of Qasem Soleimani in organizing and mobilizing the resistance front has been unmatched. He turned differences among various religions, sects, and ethnicities into unity and coherence. He showed the common enemy to all people in the region and breathe new spirit of freedom and hatred of the U.S. hegemony in the body of the regional nations. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, and the Islamic Resistance Front succeeded to both push back the shadow of war from the borders of the Islamic Republic of Iran and put the Zionist regime in a deadly impasse in the occupied territories. Martyr Soleimani deeply developed the military and political ability of the Quds Force in the external operations, hence making Iran's massive strategic power and the might of the Islamic resistance as the eternal nightmare for the Zionist regime. Qasem Soleimani was a very influential, charismatic, and brave commander. This was announced time and again, even by the foreign media. After his martyrdom, the global current of resistance has become more powerful and resolute to follow his ideals. His martyrdom ignited the anti-American sentiments all over the Islamic world and even beyond. The definite result of this martyrdom is the formation of a new energy in the region and beyond,
which seeks harsh revenge. This revenge is the expulsion of the U.S. terrorist army from the West Asian region. This has already started with the despicable expulsion of the U.S. terrorists from Afghanistan and also evacuation of many Iraqi regions from the American occupying terrorist forces. The future of the region is for the people of the region, and the occupiers have no place here.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is a part of a sermon in the famous book Nahjul Balagha, in which the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, describes the simple, God-fearing lifestyle of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Blessed are the ascetics in the world, those who yearn for the other world, the people who spread Allah's earth beneath them to sleep on, who lean against this dust, whose motto is his book, whose maxim is supplicating to him, whose perfume is water, and who take the world on loan in the way of the Messiah. Verily, Allah the Exalted revealed to Jesus, O Jesus, keep to the first way, keep to the manner of the messengers. Say to your people, O brother of the warners, do not enter any of my houses except with pure hearts, clean hands, and lowered eyes. I will not hear the prayer of any who supplicates to me if any of my servants is oppressed by him, and I will not answer the prayer of any who has not fulfilled any of my rights over him.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-da'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at justice from the perspective of the commander of the faithful, chief and master Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was forced to accept being a khalifa or a ruler after rejecting, when he accepted, he went on the pulpit, on the minbar, and he praised and glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sent his blessing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala, and then he reminded the Muslims of Allah's favors. Then he talked about this world and called people to not be consumed by it, and he pointed out the afterlife. encourage people toward it, then he said, "Now then, in truth, when the Prophet died, people elected Abu Bakr as the Khalifa. After that, Abu Bakr appointed Umar as the Khalifa after himself. Who followed the way of Bakr? Then he has relegated Khilafat to the elected council, which led to the election of Uthman, who committed things that were unseemly to you, and you know it. Then was besieged and murdered. After that, you came to me willingly, and you asked me to accept your leadership. Now, that itself requires hours of analysis." Amir al-Mu'min salamullah alayhi says, the first one, he assumingly was elected by people, but he wasn't. And when he was in power, when he left, he gave power and he appointed someone after him, which he had no right to do so. And the second, he made a council, electoral council, to elect one of them, which they had no right. When it came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, the difference between me and them, I was not appointed by any of them, I was not selected by any of them, I was not elected by any of them, nor did I put myself for election for you to elect me. You came to me willingly, unlike the rest, which they forced themselves into you. Now, that's the first part of the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi as-salam, where he sees that the people have the right to choose their leaders, not to be forced onto them if they don't want to. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints, then the Quran says, وَمَا كَانَ لَهُمَ الْخِيَرَةِ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. If Allah and His Messenger declares and decree something, that people no longer have an option. But if people have an option, they should select, they should elect. How come they did not select the first? How come people did not select the second? How come people did not select the third? Why is it with the fourth they came running? Because they knew Ali alayhi salam will do nothing but justice. Stay with us and let us take a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity, and we are looking at justice from the perspective of Ali alayhi salam. Amir al-Mu'mineen, once he went on the pulpit after being elected, he continued saying, "For sure I am one of you whose benefit and loss are one and the same. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up a door between you and the people of Qibla. Evil have assailed like the pieces of a dark night, and the weight of hukuma, government, cannot be borne except by a man of forbearance, insightful and aware of the ins and outs of ruling. I will carry you on the path of your prophet and will implement among you what I am assigned if you preserve by my side. And Allah has to be bestowed for, and help is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So clearly he's trying to tell them that, listen, now I am in power, now you guys elected me, I will only carry out the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will only carry out the rules of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I will not rule in the same way that those before me ruled you. And anyone who wants to rule, he knows to know the ins and outs of rulership itself. Otherwise, such a person would not deal with people justly. He would oppress them as it has happened before him. So he's trying to tell them that me, do not come to me and ask me to make exceptions. When Amir al-Mu'mineen said this, people came to him and they said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, look, we do like you, we did elect you, but we want you to go in the tradition of the Khalifs before you. And Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi rejected. He said, no, I only go by the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For those who came before me, they did not go by the rules of Allah. They did not apply the rules of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The first thing they did after the Prophet, they took the land of Fadak from Amir al-Mu'mini unjustly. They stole it in front of everyone's eye, and they gave fake, unacceptable hadith to prove their claim, and it goes directly against the Quran. Even Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she gave them numerous verses that goes against what they just did and the hadith they brought forward. When she said to Abu Bakr, is it in the Quran that you inherit your father and I don't? How could you claim that I cannot inherit my father? So which part of their system was just? So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you want to have a just person rules you, he needs to know the ins and outs of rulership. Otherwise, oppression will take place. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على محمد وآله 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 Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in the Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghwan has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
That's why we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmagh for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them. As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghwan, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. 5 horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Aboro Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition.
It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, the Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by Spanish environmental group and is inspired by similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic. Plus, they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward to after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different in the fair as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Fitting in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Neither U.S. President George W. Bush nor U.K. Prime Minister Tony Blair have had to answer the charge of the illegality of their war against Iraq. Although Iraqi journalist Montazer Azzaydi did throw his shoes at Bush in Baghdad in 2008. In this article, Vijay Prashad, journalist, explains why a group of international media organizations reject and denounce the U.S. government's attack on Julian Assange and journalism. This article is published under the heading Throwing a Shoe at the Illegal U.S. War on Iraq. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. On July 12, 2007, two U.S. AH-64 Apache helicopters fired 30mm cannon rounds at a group of Iraqi civilians in Baghdad. These U.S. Army gunners murdered at least a dozen people, including Reuters photographer Namir Nuruddin and his driver Saeed Chamagh. Reuters immediately asked for the U.S. to conduct a probe into the killing. Instead, they were fed the official story by the U.S. government that troops of Bravo Company 2 to 16 Infantry had been attacked by small arms fire as part of their Operation Ilaj in the Al-Amin Al-Thaniya neighborhood. The troops called in airstrikes, which came in and cleared the streets of insurgents. Reuters had information that the helicopters filmed the attack and showed a media house requested the video from the U.S. military. The United States refused, claiming that there was no such video. 2 years later, Washington Post reporter David Finkel published The Good Soldiers, a book based on his time embedded in the 2 to 16 battalion. Finkel was with the soldiers in the Al-Amin Al-Thaniya neighborhood when they heard the Apache helicopters in action. He defended the U.S. military, writing that the Apache crew had followed the rules of engagement and that everyone had acted appropriately. The troops, Finkel wrote, were good soldiers and the time had come for dinner. In his recounting, Finkel made it clear that he had watched the video of the incident, even as the U.S. government denied its existence to Reuters and to human rights organizations. On January 5, 2010, Chelsea Manning, a U.S. troop in Iraq, downloaded a trench of documents and videos pertaining to the war on two compact discs and took them back with her to the United States. On February 21, 2010, Manning passed on the material related to Iraq to the WikiLeaks organization, which had been set up in 2006 by a group of engaged people led by an Australian national by the name of Julian Assange. WikiLeaks and Assange went through the footage and published the full video from the Apache helicopters on their website under the title Collateral Murder on April 5, 2010. The video is horrifying. It shows the appalling inhumanity of the pilots. The people on the ground were not shooting at anyone, but the pilots